How's it going, Sha?
Oh, everything's lovely.
Yeah.
Well,
that's beautiful.
I'm giving that a shot. Everything's lovely. How are you doing? We'll see if I believe it at some point.
I like this new approach. Huh?
Do you?
It's good. It's a good sentiment.
You and your positive ways. See, I can't even keep it up.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about theoretical money, Sha.
Okay, hold on.
You know, this is
let me put on my thinking cap here.
Oh, this is something I know you're familiar with as a fellow artist.
Oh, right? Maybe, yes.
Theoretical money. Mm-hmm. I had a theoretical money issue this week.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I went like 6-7 weeks where I couldn't perform, whether it was for COVID, sick, the kids, quarantine. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have money come in for a minute.
Right.
Wife got sick. She went through her sick days. We're waiting for that. There's like a COVID thing where like they'll help like balance that out. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, again, also no income coming in. You know what I mean? So we went like almost eight weeks where like money wasn't hit.
Right.
We back to working now. You know, things are getting back to normal. But, you know, money got tight towards the very end, like cash money.
Right.
Right. So I'm not poor, thankfully, and I'm not in a situation where I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. But cash-wise, I was very much like on E. Mm-hmm. Right? And there was a day this week where on the main account that I use to like pay bills, my balance hit negative $17.
Okay.
But I had theoretical money. Like I had done 3 shows that week, the week prior, mm-hmm. that pay within 15 business days. Mm-hmm. So like I had checks that were like, yo, they almost here, but they not here.
Right.
So like my balance is up, but my checking balance is in the red.
Right.
And I'm having this convo with Chase. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, Chase, you don't understand. I tell jokes. I sent in the invoice. I could show you the invoice, but being real, you and I both know I just make those up on a computer. So I'm telling you the truth, but I know that you know we could fake these.
Right.
But I'm letting you know that it's a real thing.
Right.
So I got money coming, but like this exact moment, I don't got money.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then I have like other accounts that like have money. Like I have like some money in an investment account. I got a savings account thing. But all those accounts is like, yeah, you can have your money, but you got to wait 3 days.
Right.
You know? So it was just, it's one of those moments where like I had theoretical money. I had a whole bunch of like almost checks, mm-hmm. but no real checks. And like, I'm just old enough where like I think I'm an adult. Like I feel like I'm grown up now. You
right.
Know?
Yes.
You know, like it retrospect, like, cause like you know, like you legally an adult at 18. I get that. Blah blah blah. That's not true. Like you don't know what the fuck you're doing at 18.
Yeah, yeah. You don't actually feel like an adult till you're like 33, 34.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like mm-hmm. even at like 24.
No,
like,
no. 24, you ain't not no.
You don't got it.
You
it
absolutely do not have it.
You're old enough to like argue every now and then your parents that mm-hmm. you're an adult, but like real life hit, you don't know what you're doing yet.
Nope.
You know, there's rare exceptions. Congratulations to y'all. Write a book. Okay. But most of us ain't there yet at that age.
Right.
Okay. I'm starting to feel like I grasp it now, mm-hmm. but like, I'm also like, my parents are like just getting comfortable with that idea. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're like, okay, this kid makes some non-traditional decisions, mm-hmm. but he's figured it out. He's got his life in order. They're like just accepting that.
Right.
So like, I can't go and tell them, yo, I need $20 to get my account out of the overdraft. I only need it for one day because I got theoretical money.
Right.
You know? So I spent most of that day looking for like loose change around the house.
Okay.
So that I could go deposit like a whole bunch of quarters at Chase. Mm-hmm. You know, overcome this overdraft fee.
Right.
You know, finally, I decided to ask my homegirl. She hooked me up with $20. Mm-hmm. I said, yo, you getting back tomorrow? Got theoretical money. She said, as I get it, I work with artists. I understand theoretical money. She's familiar.
Right.
She's actually a theoretical money payer. So she's on the other end of it.
Okay.
You know, so she understands the biz. Sure. She gets it. So she's like, I understand it's real money, but it's not real yet. I was like, oh, okay, you're familiar. So yeah, it worked out. But like, it's just part of the artist struggle that I don't think a lot of people know. Like, theoretical money is a thing.
Well, I mean, I think they know it. You don't have to be an artist to go through that.
Okay.
I mean, people are raising full-on families, floating checks like magicians. Like, I mean, that's honestly, that is how my, that's, that was a lot of my childhood, my teen years, was just watching the float. Watching, you know, knowing that there were checks out that needed to cover a thing and blah, blah, blah. And I just, I am like, I don't ever want to do that. It seemed extremely stressful.
Right.
But I have also taken out a lot of the variables that would force me to do that, in that I am not, I am single. I do not own property. Even though you could still, we didn't own property. That was all rent and shit. I don't have children. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just me being stupid. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that whole floating of checks is, it is very necessary. And also, I mean, you know how banks move, right? When it comes to deposits and like withdrawals and all that kind of stuff, right? How they...
What do you mean?
So your, when your money, your checks, whatever money that's supposed to come in, it's all dated, right?
Right.
You would think that they would go by the chronological order of the whatever the deposit is, but they don't. They go in such a way that kind of encourages overdraft fees.
Okay.
So if there's a big check amount that's coming, and then two smaller ones, but the big check would cover what you have going out first, they go ahead and put through whatever you that's supposed to come out before they put the money that's supposed to come in.
Oh, that's grease.
Yeah, it's extreme grease.
Yo.
It's extremely grimy what they do. And so they're like, well, we got that and this came in. It just didn't come in time to cover when that was going out. But they could absolutely control when they can put that through. So they always take money out before they put the money in.
Yeah, it's grease, yeah. Yo.
So then when they finally do put the money in, they've already taken it out, they've already added the fee, so now it's not even covering that. You still now have that fee that's out.
Right.
So it is bullshit. It is the biggest bullshit that you could even imagine. And that's just like all the banks do that. All the banks do that. That's how they make their money. Because no one's making money by your money just sitting there waiting for you to use it. They're not making money off of that. So they got to do
penny pinches.
Yeah, they got to do little things like that. Now, I had that happen to me once when I was, you know, just broke and had a check coming out and one going in, and like the timing was such, and that is what they did. But I, was so adamant about not doing that I went in. I went in to see what the problem was, because I had gotten an overdraft thing and I had never gotten one before. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's an overdraft thing. And I was like, ooh, no, we don't do that. I'm going to need you to flip back, go back a few pages. I don't do that. And they're like, well, ma'am, I'm like, okay. And I called and I was just like, I need you to look at the history of my account. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, all right. So you see that I've been with this bank since two banks ago. Like,
I'll be here before you.
Yeah. Okay? So I'm going to need you to just remove that. Like, and they were just like, you know what? We'll do it this one time. I'm like, bitch, don't this one time me. I've been here pre-Wachovia. Do you understand me? I'm here before it became Wachovia. So don't pull this little bullshit. We'll do it this one time.
Mm-mm. We'll do it anytime I ask.
Anytime, okay? I ask.
God damn it.
But yo. Yeah, that's the thing, is that you got to keep in mind, like, oh, they're going to take this out before they put that in. So you almost have to budget in an overdraft fee. And it's such bullshit.
Oh,
because it really, like, it literally is like same day. They'll be marked the same date.
Right, right.
So they easily could just make the deposit and then take out money.
Because this was getting me tight, right? Like, when I go shopping, right? If, like, for whatever reason, if my card was on max, mm-hmm. or if I had nothing in my debit card, if I swipe the card, mm-hmm. it says decline. Mm. Right? It doesn't let me use the card.
Right.
Right? But when I have, like, order, like, I have subscriptions on Amazon, mm-hmm. or, like, I got, like, a radio, like Spotify, some shit.
Right.
That charge still go through. Yeah. Like, yo, tell them dudes I ain't got it. Just cancel my shit.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean? they'll keep putting
they
that.
They kept charging.
Through. Yeah.
I got three separate charges that day. So, like, it hit. I woke up to a notification and it was like, yo, you overdraft by like $2. So I was like, all right, it's no big deal. I sent that over from, like, I forgot what account. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, yo, you over $300. I was like, cool. And it was another bill that I had.
Right.
So, like, it's not like I'm not expecting those, right. But, you know, I was thinking, yo, say I don't got it, I'll pay that in 2 days when the money comes in, mm-hmm. but don't take it and then overdraft me.
No, that's so absolutely, like, what they're going to do.
Yeah, they were like, pay this by 5 o'clock or it's overdrafted. So, like, I had to make a transfer again. So, like, I did that. Then at like 4:30, they get me with another one. Like, this other charge came out. I'm like, yo, you knew all those charges was here today.
Yeah.
Why are you sending me all these random things? Because it wasn't like I did those orders today. I'm not spending money right now. Mm-hmm. All of them was like things I did like a while ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So don't do it at the time that you do the thing. And then they wait. They just wait to see.
Creeping on you,
yo. If it'll fuck you up. They really do. It is truly wild how they just kind of, they'll just keep dinging you. And then if you do too many transfers, like if you have a checking and savings account that's like linked, you can only do so many transfers from savings to checking in a month or something. And then they ding you for all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that was the thing. Like, so, like, everything that I looked at money wise, like, I had the money, mm-hmm. but I had it in places that, like, it was either too slow or a penalty.
Right.
So, like, I was like, it was annoying. I was like, I don't have physical cash to go deposit.
Right.
I have.
And that wouldn't have mattered anyway, like, because they wait on that too.
Yo, it was wild. So, like, I had my homegirl send it because through Zelle, it shows up instantly.
Right.
But every other way, I was like, yo, I'm going to be late. I was like, yo, I was telling the dude, I was like, yo, my man, I got two Nas NFTs right now. Okay? You know? But it's going to take me too long to do the crypto exchange to get this to you. All right? I got money. I got three checks coming in, showing up in 3 to 5 business days. I could do transfers from these accounts that show up in 1 to 3 days. I could even send over money from Venmo, but I don't. It's not fair that I gotta pay a 5% penalty, the premium,
right,
to get it to you instantly. I'm like, I could show you all these. We could screenshot all this shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's banking. I know this just because my dad was a banker, so I know about all that shit. So I watched him float, and he worked in a bank, and I was just like, oh yikes,
yo, like,
oh man, yeah, Shy. No. Money shit is extremely draining when it's just things like that, and there's nothing you can do, and they're just like, sorry, and it's, they don't care, and they run things through like that on purpose to make sure that they get
that they get
fees.
But y'all ain't get me, all right? And I'm back in this game, okay? We out here in these streets,
right?
You know what you gonna do about that? Oh, and also. The people have spoken, Shy.
What?
Last week, we put up a poll.
Oh, right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it exactly.
Okay.
It was about, for those of y'all that didn't see on my Instagram, I posted my derby, a picture of me rocking a derby, circa ninth grade. Now, I don't think it was inspired by, it was more like, I think I inspired him, right?
Sure.
You know, that's how I see it.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's a very positive spin.
Right? I think, what was his name, OG dude from that is taking his stuff off Spotify.
Lee. Neil Young.
The
OG dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neil Young was out there doing his rock songs, country songs. I don't know what he sings. You know? But he was out there and he saw a picture of this Dominican dude in Brooklyn rocking the derby. He's like, I got to do that. You know? And he started doing it too. You're welcome. You know? Mm-hmm. That's because of me.
Right.
So I posted a picture of me because Shaw was doubtful. Shaw didn't think I could pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
I posted a picture, and then I posted a poll on our Spotify page. I let the people talk, you know?
Right.
As per our IG account, the teenage gas store pull off his derby hat. 93% of the people, Shaw, have said that, yes, of course he does.
Wait, that was the choice?
The choice was yes, of course he does, and no, I'm a hater.
Okay? Come on!
93% say yes, of course he does. No. You know, I appreciate the people being honest, you know, forthcoming. You know, I might bring it back. It's right. You know, it's been a minute. Our Instagram page even has a comment, you know, it says he looks like a young Barack Obama. And I agree with that. You know, it was a similarly handsome dude. He's a little better looking than me. I agree, you know, more presidential. But, you know, the swag was there. You know, I don't got the jump shot, but I got a swing. You know, but they could see it. The people could see it. Thank you, all of you that voted, boosted my confidence.
Wow. You yes, know? Thank you, all of you. Yes, of course he does. Versus no, I'm a hater.
Real, you know, I feel like an equal opportunity poll.
No, absolutely. You know? Very, very objective. No way.
Very objective, you know.
You're not swaying it in any way.
At all, mm-hmm. You know. I just got to bring it up. Also, I got to bring up, Shy, you know, the people hit me, they hit me up twice. You know, they were on my side this week, Shy.
Yeah.
You know, I got three different people in the DMs that said, Gas Store, you were right about the Supreme Court. It said you do not need to be a former lawyer or judge to be a Supreme Court justice. However, mm-hmm. Shalay was right. Only lawyers have done it. So it's not like in the rule book.
Oh, yeah, no.
It is recommended.
I am not. There is not going to be an Air Bud situation with this damn.
I'm just saying, I might Supreme be the first Court. Out there, Shah.
Nobody says a dog can't be a Supreme Court justice. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing.
It's not in the rule book. Anybody can get picked, you know? They recommend it, you know? Roughly half of them have been judges, but not all of them. All of them have been lawyers, but they don't need to be. You know what I mean? So I'm just putting it out there in the world, you know? I want a sitcom. I want a stand-up special on Netflix. I want to be a Supreme Court justice, okay? Let's put it out there.
Yeah, it is a, you know, we're right around a new moon time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
New moon time, especially now, is a time to set intentions, you know, for the new year. So go ahead and put it on your vision board.
Hell yeah.
That you want to bring back a hat. You want to lead the country in legal decisions.
Hell yeah. I'll be more than just, you know, I'll be very fair. You know, you see it every week on this podcast. I make great recommendations.
Okay.
All the time. That's what I do.
All right. Well, I'm going to let the people decide if all of Gastor's suggestions and decisions are really what's good for the country.
Listen, I ain't saying I'm batting 100.
No.
I ain't crazy. I'm a human. Okay. Uh-huh. But like, if we doing like 50-50s, I'm at like 52%. Like I'm like we rolling in the right direction if I'm in charge. I'm gonna do some crazy shit too. I ain't gonna front. I'm gonna get some wrong, but I'm gonna get most of them right.
Okay.
You know? I'm gonna be there, you know?
All
right. You need one Supreme Court justice to turn up.
Do you?
You need one dude to seize it from that side of the perspective. All of them dudes are squares. None of them dudes is like living, you know? You need one person in there that's like, nah, I know what the people, like the real people that have been out there, like I know what they thinking and feeling in their heart. This ain't right, you know?
Okay. All right.
It's me. Tell them.
Yeah, sure. No, go ahead. Thank you. And thank you, everyone who voted for encouraging this.
You know, derby season, baby.
That's on your head now. So, hope you can sleep. I hope
Supreme Court Justice Gastro Monte says that's okay. Uh-huh. Okay? You've made a good decision. You know, I hear now anoint the winter in New York is derby season. You know, you can bring those out. You know, you can buy derbies with ear flaps too. They're a little pretty cool.
I refuse to entertain an ear flap derby. And I understand that I am now wearing a flappy hat, a Russian style flappy hat. But we can't just be throwing flaps on everything. You know what I mean? Come on.
Derbies is coming back, baby. You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. From your future Supreme Court Justice, Gastro Monte. Let's get into the news, Sha.
All right.
Michigan University mistakenly told 5,500 students they won a $48,000 scholarship. That's right. A Michigan university sent out email notifications to thousands of students notifying them about a scholarship award valued at 48 Gs, but the email was sent in error. It is the second Michigan University to make a mistake like this in the month of January. On the 4th, Oakland University of Rochester Hills, 28 miles outside of Detroit, learned that due to a human error, their undergraduate student application system sent out 5,500 admitted students email notifications that they were awarded one of the university's highest awards, the Platinum Presidential Scholar Award, valued at $12,000 per year for 4 years. Unfortunately, the students who received the message did not meet the eligibility requirements for this award, but have qualified for various levels of OU scholarship awards, said Brian Burley, the director of media relations at Oakland U. While the emails were sent in error, OU notified students of scholarship awards through official scholarship award letters sent to students via U.S. mail.
So ignore the email. The real news is in the actual mail, which hasn't been delivered on time in 2 years.
Yeah, my bad. That one don't count. That ain't the real one. You know what I mean? The Platinum President Scholarship at the Platinum Presidential Scholarship at Oakland University is an application based. It's according to Blurley, it is for all students who are in the school that are entering as freshmen from high school with a GPA of 3.9 or higher and score of at least 1450 or higher on the SATs, 33 or higher on ACT if they did that. So those 5,500 students made up of incoming freshmen and transfer students have been offered varying levels of scholarships but do not qualify for the Platinum Presidential Scholarship and has also not yet accepted their scholarship award in their student portal. They were intended to receive a different message about the awards they did qualify for.
Okay. So it said that there were this has happened to two different schools in Michigan just in January.
This month, yeah.
So the other school, when they did it, they sent out a notification. Let's see, what school was it?
Centrillis Scholar Award.
Yeah, they sent it out to 58 students, informing them that they had gotten the Centrillis Scholar Award, which includes full tuition, admission to an honors program, fees, room, and board for 4 years, and a $5,000 study away award.
Now
they only sent it out to 58 students. So now, what they are going to do? They're like, our bad. We'll give you a full tuition scholarship.
Okay, respect.
Yeah, we sent that out. Y'all don't get all of that, but we will cover your full tuition. We're not going to cover room Central and board Michigan and the study away, but, you know, whatever. But Oakland, you can't do that.
Not 5,500 times.
Yeah. So they're like, I know what the other ones did, but... No. I mean, y'all are still going to get something. You were going to get something anyway. It's just not going to be this something. It might be like, I don't know, we got like 50 on the food.
Yo, that is L right there.
Yeah, that is. And I wonder how the human who made that error is doing.
Yeah, he fired.
Yeah, he no, fired. For sure, right?
I did the math. It would be $264 million.
Oh, is that all?
That's it. So, if you make 40 G's a year in that office, you gone. All right? That's it. Ain't yeah. keeping you after that.
Yeah, no. You can't.
Because you can't make that up. Like, whatever you do at that job, like, if you're an accountant, you can't save enough zeros for that.
No, there aren't enough extra shifts you can pick up to cover that.
Nah, but look how much I saved y'all in pens.
You know? Right, like, yeah, nah.
You can't do it, my G. I'm gone. Yo, good luck to those kids. The previous year, by the way, 223 students were offered the award. And 47 of them enrolled. Good luck to the other 5,300 kids mm-hmm. who had their hopes dashed with this with this news. Yo, that is wild, B.
Oh, that's oh, what a roller coaster.
Because you know you told people. Yo, I would have told my mom instantly.
Well, I mean, I imagine you got the email and you're like, yeah, guess where I'm going. I mean, TikTok must be... Oh.
Yo, that hurts, man. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, I would send you money, but I don't know if you heard the story I told
you. He ain't got it.
I ain't got it right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe up in March when things even out again.
Yeah. He's got a theoretical five on it for you.
That's it, you know? If you want a Nas NFT, let me know. I got one to spare. I'll send one over.
I think you should hold out for the theoretical five.
Oh, man. The NFL awards $1 million to studies researching cannabinoids effects on pain management. The NFL has chosen two medical teams and funded them with $1 million for the purposes of researching the impact of cannabinoids on pain management and neuroprotection from concussion on football players. According to the Associated Press, the NFL chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, said of the initiative, "We're always interested in trying to improve our approach and our treatment for acute and chronic pain in NFL players. And we always want to make sure that our players are receiving the most up-to-date medical consensus around any of these treatments. So our burden of proof is really high for NFL players."
Okay, so they're just trying to figure out what? So, yeah. So ways for to justify the player smoking?
Yeah.
Because the players are smoking.
100%.
Yeah.
Because a lot of issues they were having with that, they actually stopped testing in the offseason. They actually mentioned in the article from April through August, you can't test.
Okay.
According to the CBA. And players have openly acknowledged it. A lot of retired players, it's not in the article, but Calvin Johnson has actually started like a whole business around it. But he mentioned it all the time that he was like, "I was in severe pain during the football season and I didn't want to take the more addictive drugs that they were offering."
Right.
So he felt like this was a way to manage the pain. So he would have to do it in the off season. There's a big movement behind it. There's also a lot of athletes who are trying to avoid taking synthetic stuff because it has other effects. So they're like, "We'd rather take the natural thing that already helps and that we know helps because we take it in the off season."
Wow. You know what okay. I mean?
So, yeah. Get well, that shit good. Right, all right?
Yeah.
It seems like a win. I feel like this would be cheaper. This is something they're comfortable taking. It's not viewed as addictive. Like, I don't see the holdup on this rule.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess it's the stigma of it being marijuana is ultimately what people have to get over, myself included. I don't touch the stuff. It's not for me, I don't think.
Right.
But... It still, I will smell someone smoking it in the street, and I'm just like, "Ah, you're just smoking your life away."
You know?
And I'm like, "No, actually, they're going to work. You're the one that's literally going to a bodega to buy nothing but snacks. You're the one that eats like a pothead. They are actual potheads getting shit done." So,
yeah, I will say, like, the potheads I know are the extremes. No, like, okay. They are very unproductive or very productive.
Right, right.
Yeah, like I feel comfortable saying the most successful people I know are potheads, but sure. They're also the least successful people I know, like easily. So they, you know, they got some work to do with the brand.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah, we got to even that out. We got to find some.
Yeah. It's a little crazy there, but yeah, I think this is a good move. You know, make it happen out there. Help these players play a little bit longer and recover. Mm-hmm. You know, and start removing that stigma. You know, especially like last week we had like two or three different players say that they take Viagra while they play. So that seemed way weirder. But if y'all okay with that?
Hey, why?
Oh, because they like they showed in a study that Viagra, what it does is it improves blood circulation. So by doing that, it actually gives you an advantage because it allows you to, it increases your lung capacity because you're getting more oxygen.
Right.
So there's players, Chad Ochocinco, famously said he played every game with Viagra.
Of course, Chad Ochocinco did.
But yeah, several players have admitted to it that like it was even recommended by some of their like trainers.
Okay.
That, like, because it increases the circulation of blood,
right.
You're getting more oxygen than you normally would. Mm-hmm. So you recover faster because you're getting your air back and all that, and
right.
Nutrients and shit.
Now, so. Does that mean they played with a boner?
I would assume so. Yeah. I think that's kind of how it works.
Okay. So then, wow. Okay. So
you got the cup on, so you don't see the boner.
Yes. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, they do have cups, right? That's what they're doing.
Cups, most of them. I think all of them wear the cup thing, but they don't all wear the actual cup.
Yeah.
Like they all wear the strap because I would assume it keeps the boner down. But they don't all wear the cup, a lot of wide receivers in particular, because they got to run fast, and they said that the cup like interferes, causes friction.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a fashion thing.
But yeah, you know, all that's to say, you know, if you wanna run fast, take some Viagra. You know, if you know you got some exercise to do, it might help out. You know, I don't know. Don't take this medical advice seriously, okay?
Yeah, don't do that. We don't know.
We don't know what we're talking about. You know, we're trying.
Oh boy,
Olympian. Eileen Gu ruffles U.S. skiers with the decision to compete for China. She could have been America's next Olympic darling, a stunning 18-year-old skier who signed with Victoria's Secret and has plans to attend Stanford after she vies for gold in Beijing. But Eileen Gu won't be competing for the U.S. Instead, in a move that baffled many Americans and the American skiing community, the San Francisco-born and Brett Gu has joined Team China. I have decided to compete for China in 2022's Winter Olympics, she announced in a 2019 tweet. And months after she earned her first World Cup in Italy, and she stuck to it. The opportunity to help inspire millions of young people where my mom was born during the 2022 Beijing Olympic Winter Games is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to help promote the sport I love.
Okay. I mean, I feel like, all right, I see here that says others in the sport are questioning why she would side with the host nation, which is accused of abusing human rights and engaging in unfair trade policies, to which I say, America, don't act like your shit don't stink. I'm tired. I mean, look, I don't know any particulars, but I do know that I'm not falling for the okie doke anymore of how every place is the worst place.
Right, right.
It's I believe real. We have shown that we're real good at being terrible. So
we nail that shit. You know what I mean?
So like that someone who here is, it's not my place to judge, but Eileen is from California, not from China. And her decision, you know what? Fuck you. It's Word her decision.
Up. Yeah. And you know, a big part of it, a lot of people think has to do with the money. While she is sponsored here by a lot of American companies, Red Bull, Cadillac, Beats by Dre, and Victoria's Secret, she has 20 sponsorship deals in China. and with their growing economy, you know, and unlike here, over there, she would literally be the queen of that sport. There's like room for her to be the shit over there, whereas here, you know, she'd be a skier that, you know, skis.
Right, and, exactly. You know, someone like, that we only hear of every 4 years.
Yeah, so, you know, I respect the hustle, you know what I mean? Go out there, get some checks.
Yeah, that you money still spends. I ain't mad at you.
Word up.
Do you do what you got to do? I believe Steve Nash played basketball for Canada.
Word up.
Yeah. And I mean, sure, he was actually born in South Africa and then grew up in Canada and all that kind of shit. But whatever. Who knows who wants to claim him? But like, sometimes your little stars and stripes ain't enough, America.
Word up.
Sometimes your little stars and stripes ain't enough.
We need a rebrand with that. Like, real talk, man. And just get a new design. The overall theme is cool.
But I don't know if a new design is really going to help. That's kind of how I felt about, like, when they were talking about taking the Confederate flag off of state flags, like, in the South. Any state flag that still had the Confederate flag on it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them did in the South. I know Georgia, ours was like a major part of the state flag, and then they just made it blue and then had a bunch of different like little flags, and the Confederate flag was still one of them. And I don't even know if they've updated it from that shit. But you know what? I mean, just because you take it off the flag don't mean that it's not still on people's cars and in people's hearts. So, you know, like, I guess you could change that, but I don't see mines opening up because we decided to go with something more centrally located in the flag. We decided to go with different colors.
That's fair.
You know, like, I don't think it's going to matter. I think it's still going to be just a bunch of dicks anyway. No matter what, there will still be a bunch of dicks somewhere.
As the more style forward member of this podcast, Sha.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like unbiasedly, like if we're looking at it just objectively, mm-hmm. Am I the only one that thinks that the Confederate flag is hotter though?
Like a better look?
It's a better looking flag. Like, it's designed better, in my opinion.
I will give you that as a more streamlined look.
That's really what hurts.
That's what you hate.
Yo, these dudes is herbs in so many other ways. The branding bullshit. They don't nail anything when it comes to cool. But they got that one thing I got to give them. That shit hard.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. It's easy. It's the, like, graphically, it's just easier to make stuff out of. It's symmetrical.
Yeah.
It's symmetrical. And we all know that things that are considered beautiful are things that are symmetrical. The most beautiful people that we think of, they have symmetrical faces. So here's this flag, and it's the same top and bottom as it is side to side. Like, yeah, sure. Design wise, it's much better than like 50 stars in the corner and 13 stripes. Our shit's busy. America's shit is busy. And you got to know the backstory.
Yeah.
And all of that. I hear you on that. It is a shame. That is the thing that they nailed.
just to be clear, I don't agree with anything it represents. I get all that. I'm just saying, just like looking at it, like if when they were like six, if my kids brought me both of these from school,
right,
I know which one I would put on the fridge. You know, like, that's what I'm saying.
Design wise, everyone.
Like, oh, this looks nice. You know.
Yeah.
The other shit is crazy.
No, you. I mean, unfortunately, you are kind of right on that. Sadly, I don't agree with anything either of us are saying, but you are correct. How do you do a disclaimer against yourself?
Oh man. Finally, kid becomes a national sensation after writing a comic and sneaking it into the library. aside, many kids fantasize about being famous comic book authors at a young age. However, one Idaho second grader actually achieved his dream after he snuck his homemade graphic novel into the local library and it got published. The now 81-page story is flying off shelves and has even inspired other young novelists. What's his name? I wanted to put my book in the library center since I was 5 years old, said Boise native Dylan Helbig. The aspiring scribe had reportedly spent 4 days writing and illustrating his magnum opus, The Adventures of Dylan Helbig's Christmas, spelled C-R-I-S-M-I-S.
Which, you know what? It's still correct.
Word up.
C-R-I-S-M-I-S is indeed Christmas.
Respect. The story tells the fictitious tale of how Dylan travels back in time after the star atop his Christmas tree explodes. I wanted people to read it, explained the amateur author who has reportedly been churning out comic book style work since he was 5 years old. However, as Dylan did not have a book deal lined up, he apparently like snuck the book onto the shelf at his local library. His mom went to check in on it, and she discovered that the piece was gone after hearing the heartbreaking news. His mother, Susan Helbig, dialed the library to see what was amiss. They instead informed her that they were so charmed by the work that they had decided to add it to their official catalog. Dylan's book definitely fit all the criteria, insisted branch manager Alex Hartman, who, with Dylan's permission, proceeded processed the book and made it accessible to anyone with a library card. We're so proud of him.
That's nice.
Yeah, like, this was legit beautiful to me. This is freaking dope.
Yeah. Can you draw, first of all?
Not as much anymore, but yeah, I would say I did it very well for a long time.
Did you? What kind of stuff did you draw?
Mostly comic book characters.
Yeah? Like,
yeah.
How detailed? Like, could you draw a whole body?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like, I was nasty with that. Yeah. Like,
did it look realistic?
It looked like I did. So two things. I could do real things. Like, I got like an award from the city because I did this like weird, like, I found a cutout of David Dinkins when he was like on the cover of a magazine.
Right.
I cut it in half and then I drew the other half perfectly.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I drew like comic books and stuff. But like, I didn't know that I was good in terms of like, at the time, this was in like third grade, I did that. Mm-hmm. But I figured out I was good because anytime they did like decorative stuff in my school, they asked me to draw it. And like, I was in second and third grade and the school went to sixth grade. So okay. I was like, oh, y'all dudes must suck. Like, if they come into me and like, yo, in between like, you know, your ABCs and shit, can you fit this in? Because I was a seven. But so yeah, I def drew very well growing up.
Okay. What made you stop? Puberty?
It does not get you laid.
It can.
I think I told you this recently. I came to this discovery that like everything that like I think I enjoyed as a person, mm-hmm. like it was told to me, nah, that shit whack when I was a little kid. So I just stopped doing them. You know, yeah. Whereas like now I would like nourish that in my kid.
Yeah. There are a lot of anything. I mean, I think we just come from people who are like, look, I just want you to be able to get a good job, you know, maybe have your family and be able to provide for them and all that stuff. So all this here, what is all this? How is this going to help you?
Every time I drew something, my dad would get mad that I wasn't throwing a baseball.
Right.
Like it was like, yo, what the fuck you doing? Be like, oh, you got time for these cartoons? You know, you only struck out like six people or whatever. So like, I got good at throwing a baseball hard, but like, it wasn't with like love. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved baseball after I stopped playing it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I can't draw a number out of a hat, but like,
no,
not at all, not at all. I yeah, I would draw like stick figures. You know,
okay.
You put a couple of pair of pants on them, that's the boy. You put a dress on them, that's the girl. You know, that was it. And I mean, I was just like, yeah, this is not for me. When I was in high school, maybe like a junior or senior in high school, and I took a photography class.
Okay.
So photography was my 1 year of college, what I majored in.
Oh, nice.
And so one thing that we had to do in this photography class was draw the picture, take pictures of things around your house, you know, but then one thing was like, do a drawing of one of your photographs. So yeah. After we developed them and everything, the teacher went through the stuff and she's like, all right, draw this one. And it was like the banister going up to my apartment. I took like a close up from the bottom of it, like looking up. So it was like a perspective thing, like from a point coming down. And I think that's the only reason I was able to do that. But I was just like, I didn't trace it, but I tried my best to draw the thing. And that's the only thing that I've ever drawn that looked like what the photograph was. And okay. I was shocked. My parents were shocked. Whole family shocked because they sat through years of stick figures. Like, I didn't stop drawing the stick figures. I was a full 14-year-old person drawing stick figures.
Okay.
But, like, that was clearly not my art.
Yeah, because as a parent, I would be mad at you. Like, oh, you was holding out? So like, if anything, like, if you gave me a stick figure, like Father's Day card, and right. Like, you could draw this, like,
no, that's the thing.
All I was worth.
It never happened again. it happened that once. And now I think that is when we bottom? Were like, okay, so then maybe it's the pictures. It's not. I can capture, but I can't recreate.
Okay.
Or produce, right? So then, yeah, that was it. That's the only thing. And I think I have that in a storage unit in Atlanta right now. I think that's where that work is. But I kept it because it's the only thing I've ever drawn. Worth a damn.
Frame that shit, okay?
Yeah, put it up. For real.
Real tall, yo. I think that's dope. I told you my daughter's shit is all over the hallways of this building.
Right, right.
You know, you could do it too, man. Be proud of your art. That's just ill. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little jealous that the kid is published, but you know, that's all right.
That's it. We coming for him, yo.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, if you would like to purchase one of Shalewa's beautiful paintings, all you got to do is like and subscribe to the show.
I will, you know? I will draw one of my world famous ink blots for you.
Ooh.
Look at that. I have a lot of ink blots.
Did you ever do the I want to draw a cat thing?
No, I didn't even know where to begin.
You never seen, no, but like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I got one of them for Gabby when he first started popping off. Like, it was signed and shit was on the site. It was cute. I fucked with it, yo. It's a dope business idea, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm no good at those. But I draw and I color ink blots. So okay. I just draw these things and then I color them in. If you're interested, I will put one on the gram.
There you go. Ink blocks coming soon, baby. If you're an Apple or Spotify listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars means you don't want to see Shalewa shine in other art forms. You a hater, B. You don't believe, okay?
Why does everybody have to be a hater? I say that as being a pure hater.
Shalewa would be the most hater of all.
I am the biggest hater. And I'm like, why are you crowding me out?
This is my corner, okay? I hate by myself. Right. 5 stars. You believe in Shalewa with a hater and all of her drawing capabilities, okay? Ink blots, paintings, hands. She could do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's going to be part of her next stand-up show.
Oh, no. You know?
She's going to exhibit paintings she made as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Low-key, that would be a dope stand-up storytelling show. By
that way. Actually would, yeah.
Real talk. If you got any articles you'd like us to cover, DM us directly on Twitter or Instagram at Silky Jumbo or at Gastromonte. With all that said, my name is Gastromonte, always with the homie Shalay was Sharp. Pardon me, the illustrious artist Shalay was Sharp. This has been a War Report. Catch y'all next time. Peace.
Catch y'all next week. Peace.